I'm not avoiding you, I'm waiting. I'm not so good at confrontation. I'm not afraid to say I'm shaking.
Yeah.
Wish I could stop. Well, welcome.
Oh,
we're on to a new episode of Pop Run Radio. We're here with our mother.
Hola.
Our bestest, most popular guest.
I'm the popular gang.
I'm the popular gang. Anyone who makes up that song is clearly not popular.
My best friend Lorraine and I used to have a little song we'd sing when we were in high school just because it was so...
ironic.
The opposite, yeah. Very ironic. We would sing, we're the popular gang, we're the popular gang.
I still sing it every day. We're the popular gang. I sing it all the time, too.
Just because we were like the dud gang.
One time when Liam was like a younger kid, he's like, well, Mom, we were talking about a bunch of stuff, and he's like, I don't know what to say. I'm popular.
Popular?
I remember that, actually.
Now he would never say that because he's so like,
I can't imagine.
Shy about that,
I can't imagine ever having that experience in my life.
No doubt. Yeah, like what does that even entail?
To say I'm popular.
Chooses who's popular,
right?
Although when we got home from the game last night, I was riding with Mom and Dad, and Asher was with us coming home, and we dropped him off at the high school to get his truck, and he gets out, and his fortune cookie from Panda drops, and he's like, "My cookie broke," and we were all just laughing because we're like, my kid is such a hoot. He was talking to my minute the whole way home, and he's
who
just
did
so
go
funny.
With? Did he go to the game with someone else?
He didn't even go, and then I couldn't track him down to come relieve Maddie.
No, how funny.
He was
ignoring you on purpose, I'm
yep.
sure.
He was higher than a kite, but he had a really good game.
Yeah, he had reason to, but I just was laughing because I'm like, that's kind of how I was. I was just trying to be funny in high school and make people laugh. And
I was really
same.
Funny, but just like no one caught on to my
they didn't get the memo. In your mind, you were funny? Like David
no,
was romantic
I really was. It
life.
Wasn't in my mind. I was truly funny.
I bet you more people thought you were funny than you think.
Nah.
I don't know if everybody knows our random personalities.
Nah. Yeah, I guess that's true. Are we a
Milo's
little
with a friend today, and I texted her something real random, and then I was like, she might not get that I'm a weirdo because I was just trying to be funny.
I mean, we kind of are surrounded by each other, so we probably don't realize how weird we are.
Because we laugh at each other.
Yeah, it's totally just normal, and that's our life, and that's how we do it, but it's probably so random.
Funny breeds funny.
Indeed, indeed. So we're coming off of a week of... I don't even know how to describe this week. My mom's been in a boot for 100 years, it feels like, but not really like 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Six.
She's tired of that. Had to have foot surgery, but now she can get out of the boot. I literally fell flat on my back like a dum-dum. Megan had to peel me off the sidewalk.
Her hands all black and
I better
blue.
Steer clear of you two. I'm in good health.
I know. My elbow, like my whole body just got jarred. And I tell you what, we went to the book fair for Snowflake Intermediate because we were like, that's the best place to find our niece Lila some gifts because she's so cute and fun and she'll like the random stuff that the book fair has to offer. Like we found her these notebooks that are freaking legit.
Oh, yeah.
Like
furry
little
pins.
Lock on the notebook. We have a little key for it. Totally Jackie D. Brewer or Jackie D. Lewis, I should say, 6 years old would have loved.
Same.
So we were feeling it, man.
We came walking out of the library like, we are smart.
We
did
had
this.
Swag walking out of that library.
I had my poster in hand
you
for
guys,
her.
You guys took the intermediate school by storm.
Right. And then all of a sudden, I was not standing up anymore. My merchandise flew 10 feet in the air. My body, there was no easy fall. I was down on my hand and my elbow before I could even think. So that was nice and
the
humbling.
Best is that Dad saw you.
I know. That's just hilarious.
For like
at like 4:30. So that happened at 12.
Probably ish.
At 4:30, Dad calls me. Hey, are you okay? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I saw you, but Megan got you up and I figured you were fine. I'm like, Dad, I almost died.
And
you were
just
standing
now
over there. You didn't even come over to be like, are you alive?
I had it. It's fine.
Okay, my last foot surgery a few years ago, I couldn't put any weight on it for 6 weeks, which was a trial because I'm a klutz and I can't, in my house with the little thing you can put your knee on.
That little scooter thing?
I was fine, but with crutches outside of the house. So we're going to the valley. I went into the Chevron bathroom and I just fell flat on my back so hard, and I was trying to be so careful not to bend my foot or move, you know, hurt it, that I just let myself hit, and my head hit the stall thing so hard.
Oh my gosh, Mom.
Just hearing this is giving me the cringest germ.
Well, not even that, just
hitting. Oh, I know, laying in a public bathroom floor. It was just
puked,
like,
a little in my mouth.
And then I knew the boys' bathroom was right next to it. I knew Kim was in there, so I just yelled, Kim!
And your Kim is about that loud.
Yeah, Mom can't yell. Her yell is like,
Kim!
I can't believe he heard you. She yells at a basketball game, and it's like, yay!
I know, the whole all last night, every time Asher scored, woo!
I'm like, I think he heard that.
Luckily, we're sitting pretty close to the bench, so
I give it what I got.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he did hear me, and he came in and was helping me get up off that filthy floor. And this lady came in while he was helping me, and he said, I'm just helping my wife. She fell down. And she said, oh, that's okay. And
she just goes and goes pee?
She just went in the stall. And I was like, wow.
I probably would have if I really needed to pee.
And by the time
this door shuts, I'm good.
By the time I get to pacing, it is what it is. I wouldn't have
cared. We're pop drinkers. We need a toilet break.
I wouldn't have cared.
Oh, man. I had to, you know, because I drink a lot of pop. So during that Blue Ridge game last night, I had to go to the bathroom a couple of times. But the floor was sopping wet for some reason. So I was wearing wide leg jeans, but I didn't want them to. So I rolled my pants up above my knee.
I do the same thing if I have wide leg when I go
then
to the
I
game.
Then I go pee and then I walk out. But the second time I forgot to roll them down. So I walk out and this other lady in the stall or in the bathroom looked at me like,
new trend.
What the heck is this grown woman doing?
If I forget to wear thinner jeans, like straight leg, mm-hmm. I have to do that because
so
they just
cringe.
Drop right to the ground.
And I just will always remember the day that Caden was a senior in high school and he calls me on the phone. He's like, come bring me some shorts. I'm like, why? He's like, because I went to the bathroom and my shorts fell in piss. Actual piss.
I'm like, piss? Don't say P-I-S-S.
Yes, he was so annoying.
I remember that too.
He was like, who does this? We're in high school. Freaking put your thing in the toilet. And I was like, and Caden is so not that like that. So I was wheezing.
Well, what happened to you can say damn in hell, but not P-I-S-S?
Well, Mom, I'm sorry. My family's
next generation
different.
Down.
I don't ever say.
Our kids suck.
that's on the no list. Damn in hell are fine, but I don't want hell. These are my words. I don't want to hear S-U-C-K. I don't want to hear P-I-S-S. I don't want to hear F-A-R-T.
I remember growing up when you had your list, but we could still say crap in my little mind. I'm like, I don't get it.
You can't say B-U-T-T.
So I yelled across the bank yesterday to someone, slap his bum. And I sounded like a 2-year-old because I don't say the word butt. Someone thought
wait,
it was
Dave. What?
Oh, it's just I was at the bank and someone I knew was there and they were walking by and they thought David was the guy turned around because he had sunglasses on and David always has sunglasses. So he's like, I thought that was David. And I said, slap his bum and see. And then I was like, I sound like a 2-year-old.
No, I would rather say bum.
This was after being in the bank.
Yeah, I'll still say suck and piss, but something about bum.
Those words are so crude to me. They're so crude.
Well, I had no pride left. I had gone straight from yoga. My hair was slicked back. I had dye all over my face. Shame. It was embarrassing in my yoga clothes.
You looked fine. I was with you.
Oh, no.
But yeah,
I'm not supposed to see people I know when I go in public like that.
Yeah. Public restrooms can be
as
scary.
We're all sitting here in sweats.
Megan's dolled up.
Well, Megan is.
Went to a basketball game today.
Me and Jackie. And
no, thank you.
I kind of combed my hair.
I know when we were walking in, the back is a hot mess and I was wheezing.
Party.
Bedhead.
Business in the front. Party in the back.
It's fine. Who's going to see us? Nobody.
Totally bedhead.
Like, who cares? Okay, so what are we talking about?
We told Jill to come up
with
something.
Come on, mother.
Well,
ask us your questions.
Thought. Okay.
I did counseling for 17 years of my life. I started at LDS Family Services. And then I started working for schools because kids that had, and I don't like labeling a kid with this because it's just, I don't think it's right to label a kid that young, but a kid with a emotional disability label, I would talk to. I went to 6 schools every week, had about 60 kids that I saw every week, got really good at figuring out which ones needed more time, which ones I could just
check on.
Hi, how are you? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about relationships have always been my total fascination in life. I don't know why. I sometimes think I probably really overdo it, but I'm just fascinated by relationships and how they form and how your family affects you and your marriage and everything. I mean, just relationships. And I've heard this said before. I can't remember who said it, but I totally believe it, that when the first thing on Judgment Day that the Lord will say to you is, how did you treat your spouse? And how did you treat your kids? I really think that will be the first question over, were you the stake president? Were you
a good church leader? No.
How many times did you read the scriptures? Yeah. I think it's going to be how you are.
So here's my question. Were relationships their number one? They're number one with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to have relationships with him.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my question, not with him, but with people. When you're in a relationship that is damaging and just unhealthy, dysfunctional, when and how do you know when to say when or when to say I'll fight through this? Nothing to me is more gut-wrenching, tragic than people who just exist together. They just exist and they don't have a relationship. They just exist. And I just think,
I don't know. That's an interesting one, because I think I wish there was a cut and dry answer to that, but there's so many factors at play, right? I don't know. I was watching the Bad Broadcast Stories and she said, ask me anything. And somebody was like, how did you know when it was time to divorce? And she said, when the thought of divorcing makes you happier than the thought of staying. But yeah, I agree. I mean, and she should have divorced, whatever her, I don't even know her situation, but good for her. But I'm like, even that answer, okay, it doesn't work for everyone.
I have five kids.
That's what I'm saying. If I, in her situation where she didn't have any children, that might be a little bit easier, say, than in our situation where we have 5, 10, 16 kids between the three of us. That's a little bit different. But, we're not talking about our marriages, obviously. But maybe we are. Are we talking about our marriages, Mother? How, I don't know if there's a cut and dry answer to that. Sometimes you're existing just because you have to raise your children.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can even ask that question. Maybe you can. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because all week we were talking about a few things, that we've heard or around town or whatever. And it just has me thinking, man, so hard. Second marriages are that it's a lot.
I think they're very hard to be successful.
I do too.
So why, if you love the person, this is my philosophy. If you love the person, it's worth fighting for until the thought of doing a combined family or a second marriage sounds better. And that sounds like a lot of hard
work. Yes, that's probably true. That thought makes me ew. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
That's very hard. People that do it are saints.
They are. And people do it successfully. And sometimes they had no choice. There wasn't a choice they made where they could, they absolutely had no choice to divorce, sure, whether they wanted to or not. They absolutely had no choice.
They did.
And so for that, we don't know anything about that. That's something that's just,
I think there's always a reason for sure.
There's always a reason. And so I don't know, because.
And maybe they wanted to stay married, but their spouse said, no, we're done.
Yeah. Right? I think that happens a lot.
I do too.
There's a guy I really like, and I know a lot of you will know him. His name is Jordan Peterson. And about 90% of everything that comes out of his mouth, I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But he talks about relationships, marital relationships with, you get in a relationship with somebody that will fight with you. Not like I'm talking about being ugly and fight. I mean, fight for
the same goal and the same end game.
The right. Yeah, fight
or
for...
Or fight for the relationship.
Yes, fight for the relationship and just... And that we'll, have the fight with you and not just, you know, fear the fight. So they go tell you what you want to hear or hide in the corner or whatever. They want to fight for it. And I don't mean beat yourself up. And I'm not...
I totally know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I know how much you love Jordan P. Peterson. That's funny. And he's that Canadian who's probably like, what is happening in Canada right now just because of the way he feels. But that's such a weirdly nuanced question because...
There's no answer that's right.
It's just, we were even just talking about this last night, like with what we believe in our religion. Like you're really going to... This decision I made when I was 18 years old is like forever... Eternity? Why would you trust me at age 18 to make that decision? God, well, that's cray cray.
Try 17.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, he's a good basketball player.
Well, that's a good reason to get married.
When you're 17, that's a good enough reason.
That's
for
about
me.
How your mind works. You're dumber than sin. You just, and you have, you rightly so, you have that right to be dumb because you haven't had any life experience.
I know, but at the same time, there's different generations where you just make it work no matter what and you show the world that you're doing good.
And then there's...
It's all about appearances. You're never real. And then there's generations where, like, you know, do all you can, but then it's healthy. It's okay if you divorce, which I think is healthy. But then there's also, like, generations that are, like, they divorce at the drop of a hat. Like, divorce just is, like, the easy, easy alternative. And I don't want to speak for everyone. It probably wasn't easy. But it's also, like...
A quick option. It has changed a lot generationally.
When we lived in Provo and we're going to BYU in Y-View Trailer Park, or YB Trailer Park, as I preferred to call it, there was a lady that had four kids. I had four little kids, and she was living there too. And she had divorced her husband because he watched too much TV. And I thought, wow. I mean, isn't that something you could have worked through?
Yeah. Maybe she tried.
Yeah, maybe she tried.
You know, yeah.
Maybe he was ugly about it. I don't know, but it just kind of like...
bad TV.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know all the deets at all, but it just kind of like... It just kind of jolted me.
I think it depends a lot, too, on how you were raised. True. Like, if that was an option, or if you just fight hard, or...
Do you think when you have divorced parents, it influences yourself with the idea of it?
I don't know.
We probably need to ask a divorced person.
Probably for some people, it makes them bound and determined to make their marriage work because they've been through it. And probably for some, it's like my mom and dad did it. It's, you know, I can do it too.
I have a lot of respect for people who make the decision to get a divorce because I've always really liked that story that you told me that this lady was in... talking to a member of the general authority back when you could just talk to him free and easy, like you had access more easily, about her marriage because she didn't feel like there was any real reason she should be divorcing him, just that he was not, what was it, he wasn't providing.
They'd been married like 10 years and had four kids, and he had never held a job, so she had four kids and supported the family,
and she just felt like he was never there supporting her, right? So she's like, I feel like he's not abusive, he's not whatever, but this is just really, really hard. And then what happened?
Well, this might be a Mormon myth, but I got told it by a reliable source. But I don't know what general authority she was talking to, but President Hinckley, who was the prophet, then stuck his head in the door to tell that guy something. And the guy, the general authority, said, come in here, I don't know what to tell this lady. And he told the story to President Hinckley, and President Hinckley said, "Sister, the Lord just wants you to be happy. He just wants you to be happy."
That's what mine and David's philosophy is.
You deserve to be happy.
If you're never not happy, that's when we should.
Right? And that's the thing, is I know for me personally, the wonderful good things in my life bring me enough happiness that I can, right now, I can work through anything that comes up in my marriage because I feel so blessed with the other half. I think if you get to a point where every aspect of it is miserable. I agree. You don't need to be
there. Especially
if
you believe in eternity. You want to be happy
for eternity. Well, if you're like low-key repulsed by your spouse, it's time to dip.
Well, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer too, because are we going to be, even if we stayed together, are we going to be with an eternity, any somebody we couldn't stand?
Exactly. So what was the point of fighting if you hate their guts?
That's just a joke. You're not going to be with them for eternity.
Like sometimes you talk about somebody, you know, extended family that they've been married now for so long and they literally despise each other. And every time we talk about it, I'm just kind of like a chill down my spine, like,
I know.
No.
Mm-mm. I think I'd rather be single and happy than.
Yeah. Married.
Nothing gives me more panic than a couple just existing together. I'll tell you this story. A couple that I knew and loved, but she was telling me that they had a long trip to go to. It was like a 12-hour drive, and she had been looking so forward to it, to just be with her husband and just be able to talk. And they got in the car, and she was like, we don't have anything to talk about.
So both of you put your headphones on and listen to a podcast.
Listen to a book.
Right? So that panicked her enough that she dipped?
That panicked me when I heard that. I just was like...
I don't think she dipped. I think you just heard that and it scared you.
You just got to be kidding me. That's so tragic.
I think it is a good thing when you're friends.
Yeah, I definitely
like,
do.
Like, I really do enjoy hanging out with...
But also, there's ebbs and flows of that.
Oh, for sure.
I don't always need to have a full-blown convo with John on the way to a
game. That's
what
I'm saying. Sometimes we do put our headphones
in. I'm totally fine with re-listening to a book. Sometimes I'm so overstimulated that I don't want to talk. Just being in the same car where it's warm and we're just driving, enjoying the scenery.
I don't have to talk for it to be good.
I'm listening to my book. Like, maybe that was too much of a stark realization for her. But for me, it doesn't always need to be that deep.
I'm not a big talker.
No, I'm not a big talker either. I mean, we have a podcast. I don't know. Sitting. What?
I should explain it.
Wait, neither of us are talkers, but we're thinking we can talk to the whole world.
And I like that you're ambitious that the whole world's listening.
And there you go. Yourself. People who don't talk have a podcast.
Got to get it out somewhere.
Yeah, I guess. But it's, I don't know. Like, I'm just.
We talk to each other. I mean, we have conversations. Obviously, we're not like that. But I'm just.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it's good to be a good enough friend that you don't have to talk all the time.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Silence isn't bad always.
No.
Especially for a mom. Overstimulation is a real thing. That's why I couldn't go to the game last night. Holbrook overstimulated me. Reached my legal limit.
Yeah. I was so grateful it was only one game because I'm exhausted. It's an awesome. I love basketball, but it's a lot
to go to three
to
games.
Go to three games a night. Yeah,
it is.
And then three times a week. So sometimes it was nine games a week, you know.
But I know about the other side of that coin. I don't think you have to be talking every minute about deep, dark subjects either.
Yeah, but that's your vibe.
That is
you
kind
love
of my vibe.
To talk deep all the time.
Not all the time.
Okay, like 95% of the time. It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. You just like to delve into something.
I can be shallow.
Yeah.
I mean.
You're a lot of fun.
Go online shopping.
Oh, for sure. You're so fun. And like,
I wasn't saying
it
as an insult. I'm just saying that's your personality.
If you were with a group of adults, you would start the conversations that had everyone like thinking
deep instead of just being.
I remember we went to Mexico one year and you were staying with Dan and Jana Mills, Megan's in-laws, in a room. And every time we would get together with you four, the conversations you four were having, especially you and Dan, we were just like back into the bush.
Give me a pop and put me on the beach.
I love to talk to Dan because he'll always go to the, you know, Kim stays with the basics of the gospel, which.
Thank you, Dad.
I admire. But Dan would always dive deep and
that's
I'd be like,
personality.
It just kind of.
It's your
that
personality,
always
too.
Always interests me to just go, oh, what do you think about this?
It sounds like that came from your father.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't want to.
Keep the commandments. Amen.
I love you. Keep the commandments. True that. True words were never spoken.
There's been many a time I wished I wasn't this way.
Maybe you just need to embrace it. Your personality is what it is.
I know, but sometimes I think it makes life hard just because I'm...
You want to delve a lot?
I just...
You don't want to be existing like some couples. Yes. So you go extreme the opposite.
Yes.
Yeah,
because I'm not just, your pendulum's like...
Like that idea of just existing doesn't panic me in the least because sometimes you're just surviving. I don't think you're just existing. I think you're surviving. Yes. You're doing the best you can and maybe your relationship will get different in a couple of years when you're getting sleep. But exactly. There's like, you got to remember back when you were raising four little kids.
Yeah, time and season. And I agree with that. But I also think that that's a little bit of a red flag.
Hmm.
That you're not doing so great together.
No, I don't think I'm ever not doing great. I just think it's not about anything to do with each other at all. It's just about you're both exhausted. You're both working so much. You both have so much
going
on. There's
nothing to delve into.
You're completely comfortable with each other. You're completely fine with your life.
Sometimes
there's
nothing deep to do.
There's nothing deep to really embark on.
I can always come up
with
one.
Yes, you can. True that.
I'm too much like Kim.
Me too.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
I know.
Poor guy. I mean, I'm always like delving into the mysteries and he's like,
can we just get a pop? And
let's just go with faith, repentance, baptism.
basics. Absolutely agree. I think I was a little bit more like you before Abe died, but then Abe died and I'm like, oh my gosh, nothing matters. Everyone just chill. Nothing
it's
is that
fine.
Deep.
Everything's fine.
Meaning like the basics are the basics and that's what's important. And our whole life is meant to just love each other and serve each other and find happiness.
But it seems like we'd have done the opposite, that you'd get really curious about death and what was going on and what he was doing.
No, it's cut and dry. I
know
what
you're number
doing.
Four without telling me you're number four.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is maybe in some other people that would have done that.
Yeah,
but
I
for
think it's
me,
a personality thing.
I already had that personality as part of me. And it was like everything is so much simpler than people are making it to be.
I don't need to make things more complicated.
No, in fact, like I think even what we learn from the Savior is simple. He's like, go out and love each other. Go out and serve each other.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't know, because even your questions, I'm just kind of like, meh, who cares?
That's how I am. It's not that deep. We're married, so it's fine.
But I do think there's a lot of people like you who are very analytical and very, you know, I'm not saying my way is the right way. My way is probably very shallow. And
well, and maybe the angels of heaven are laughing at me going to say this, but I feel like The only spiritual gift that I possess is perception, intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many times, like when I was growing up, I knew this guy that just when I was around him, he gave me the creeps, and I just knew. I was just smart enough to never be alone with him. And then later I heard he wasn't a good dude at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bad guy.
No, I think you do have that intuition to like read somebody and see, you know, you can kind of tell their mood. You can kind of tell their feelings or like what kind of person they are. And I get that. Like even John, when we were dating, my roommate was dating somebody and he knew from the beginning that guy, he's like, that guy is bad news. And I was like, no way, he's great. He's a returned missionary. He's great. And then, like, when it all imploded and he's not a great guy at all, I was like, wow, John. He's like, he just knew. He's like always got a little bit of an intuition. Some of the things he's told me have come out completely true. So, like, some people do have that gift. It is a spiritual gift. You should go with it. Because I'm gullible. I probably trust everyone too much, whatever. But
I'd prefer another one.
Okay,
say that, but
okay,
just,
let's think of another spiritual gift that mom has. Meg.
I love sugar.
That is a gift.
I think you
that
have
blessed us all with.
I think you have a good ability to teach people. Like the times you've been asked to speak, or the time you got asked to speak at Women's Conference in Provo, or the times you're a Relief Society teacher, or like when you have a good.
You both are very good teachers.
You have a good way to reach people through that. So that's one, I think.
That's nice to say.
You guys both are good at that.
Jackie is a good teacher. I don't feel like that's
because you don't give yourself any grace.
No.
You need to accept that and say, you're right, I'm a great teacher.
Yeah.
Own that. Own that shiz.
You are.
I can't see it.
Do you think that's a generational thing? Or do you think, okay, so like when you look at me and Megan, okay, so what? How do you feel like when you look at us, man, that is something they're so different than me on? Even though I raised them, wow, they've totally... Nothing stupid like tattoos/piercings either, but like something that you just think
broke my little
heart. Is this a generational thing, or are you proud of the change? Or?
You know what? I am. The interesting thing to you about you guys to me is, and it might be a different dynamic if there were more than two girls in our family, but you guys are like night and day.
That's probably why we get along so well.
And you are.
Don't they say opposites attract in real life?
Hardly anything brings me more joy than to have you guys watch out for each other and take care of each other. And I love that. That brings me so much joy that my daughters are there for each other.
I think it is because we're different. We can balance each other out. It's like a marriage. Well, opposites attract.
We are being buried next to each other. Head to head, I should say.
Yes, we are.
You got the plots?
Yeah, I do. You're over there by us too, but we're like head to head. We're next to all the mills.
Yes.
Just take me to the canyon and find a little cave or hole. And
I kind of love that idea. Like, I get, like, it's cool that we're all going to be together because our posterity can come to the cemetery and see it, but like that kind of stuff, like Carly's like, plant a tree, make me a tree.
That's what Madeline wants.
Make She's me like, a tree.
I that's want you to that's burn what my me mom and wanted. Make me into a tree.
My mom wanted, they do pods where they put your body in a pod and then they plant a tree over you and your body fertilized. That's what my mom wanted. But
maybe Maddie can be a tree in between our heads.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when you're dead, you don't get to do what...
Mm-mm. So what do you do on that situation if we're discussing death for a second?
My
here?
Mom did not want to be
But
embalmed.
You did it anyway. So what?
No, at the end she decided she wanted to. I remember.
Did she?
Yep. At the very end, we were talking about it. She was about a week from dying and she had said, well, it's okay. Just as long as you... All of a sudden she was getting a little vain, like, well, it will make me look better if I'm embalmed.
She looks so pretty, didn't she?
Of all the embalmed people I've seen...
She's the only one that's ever looked good
She
to me.
Looked so peaceful and pretty. There has been some funerals that have haunted me,
mm-hmm.
Like viewing-wise.
Well, it's kind of
such
a weird,
bizarre thing we do.
It is. It's a weird... tradition.
So do we follow through with their request? I guess whatever their final request is.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, just find a place in the canyon. Okay, totally off the subject and you're gonna think, whoa,
no, let's go.
Whoa, she's like kind of wacky. But this is a true story and nobody believes me and I swear this is a true story. Okay, when I grew up, the mouth of the canyon is just north of Snowflake, about a mile north, and I grew up just straight west from the mouth of the canyon, probably about the length of a football field or football field and a half, and I could be at the canyon where it goes really deep, and you know, so I could go straight and it'd be really, you know, an incline down, and sometimes I just like to go over there and sit on a rock and contemplate the meaning of my
existence.
We're
doing this from the get-go. Yep. I don't know if I've ever sat in a rock and contemplated.
Don't you just sometimes feel like you just want to lay on a rock and let the sun heal you?
I love the sun.
Yeah, but I like to get into a meditative way. My way of doing that is to clear my mind of any thoughts, period.
Not
that's the way I meditate.
Amen,
so anyway.
You'd go as a kid.
Well, I was so young, I wasn't smart enough to have too many thoughts other than what was mom making for supper with nine kids. Would I get enough? Would Clay spit on the toast so he could have as much as he wanted and we were left with what was left? Okay, so anyway, I was sitting there and I was just looking at the other side of the canyon, the wall of it, and this is true, a lizard or whatever it was, I mean, it was probably, I would say, 4 or 5 feet long. And I saw it move, so it kind of caught my eye, and then it just sat there for a long time. And I thought, did I see that? And then it moved again. And it moved, and it went back into somewhere, but it was that big.
I believe it. Why is that such a...
Do lizards get that big?
Well,
or maybe
it was probably another kind of amphibian, but it was...
Do Gila monsters live around here? I don't think, I think it's too cold here.
Well,
for
maybe
you.
It escaped well, it from might have. Like sometimes we see a bear here. It totally could have been a Gila monster.
Well, it was.
That was not what I was expecting.
I thought you were going to have like a vision. I was like, oh my gosh.
Do we need to push pause?
Well, then after that, I did have the vision. But
what was the vision?
Run for your life. It's an alligator.
No, I think that's totally. I bet you it was just an animal that got too low. We have random animals show up here, even though they don't belong here. So that's cool, actually. Did it scare you? That would have scared me.
I was just like, I could watch it. And I was like, and I didn't even tell anybody for a long time because I thought, no one's going to believe me.
That is hilarious.
I just kept it to myself.
The Gila monster at the mouth of the canyon. What was it like growing out there, just out there? You were out in the middle of nowhere. You had your cousins everywhere. You had the canyon.
You know, it was a amazing childhood. And it was also kind of a hard childhood in ways. I was the oldest girl. I had two older brothers, but I was the oldest girl of nine children. And I basically raised the last three myself because my mom, I was married and my mom and dad started traveling the world. Didn't do that great of a job, but I tried. Ben, Julie, Tom.
Oh, they're all amazing. I love them all.
I do too. But we worked hard. My mom depended on me. She depended on me so much to the fact that I resented it. I mean, I think now looking back on it, it was good for me, but
it's
I worked.
It's interesting because I have a friend that feels that.
A little bit of resentment for how much they had to do?
For just having to be the second mom almost.
I would come home a lot of days, and my mom had been doing laundry all day, and there was just this huge pile on the kitchen table. Huge. I mean, I'm talking like seven loads. And she'd say, fold that and put that away. Or one time I had been out with some friends late at night, and I came home, and all the supper dishes, everything was still on the table, the food, everything. She said, Jill, you need to clean that up before you go to bed. I mean, and she wasn't a bum. She was she had nine kids, need I say more. And she went through some really serious health problems through it too. But I worked like a dog. I mean, I did. I worked more than I partied.
Yeah. This friend of yours, that's interesting. Why they still to this day, or as a mom, do they have any perspective?
I think that they probably have perspective. It's been a long time since I talked to them about it, so I don't even know. But I just remember hearing that and thinking, I'm bent because I was the first kid, first girl. Just kidding. It wasn't me.
I remember one time, you were going somewhere. James rarely babysat me. You didn't hold him to the same babysitting
probably just
schedule.
A girl thing back then.
Yeah, so he was with me, but he wasn't having it. So he literally tracked Megan down. She was babysitting for another family way out somewhere out east, and he tracked me down to take me to wherever she was and dropped
was
me off
bothered by
to
you.
This family. I had no idea who they were, but Megan was there, and he was like, bye.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, it was funny.
If that's not generational, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Just the girls are more. And you know, even that, like you got asked to babysit all the time. I never got asked to babysit because I didn't want to. And I think it was well known around the neighborhood.
I think it's like that oldest girl versus youngest because Madeline babysits a lot and Piper.
Never
not
does.
A chance.
I think that is true. I think it is. Like I loved to babysit Luke. Sometimes I tell my boys, like, you guys will love this relationship. Like,
oh, they do.
Be so
I see
happy.
Them at church.
I know. They love it, but sometimes they try to give me the eye like, oh my gosh, we do so much. And I'm like, whatever. Maddie has raised these children all of basketball season. You
she
do
ever
nothing.
Gonna have a child of her own? Well, it's debatable.
I come walking in yesterday and she's sitting on the recliner all curled up in a ball. And then there's a puppy on one couch, a puppy on another couch.
That's
and I'm
her
like,
biggest fear is the puppies, not
is
the babies.
Is this your best life, Maddie?
She's like, how fast can I go on my next trip?
Let me tell you though, she texted me and said, the puppies are, because in my bathroom, the bathroom has access to the outside. Yeah. So they then if I leave, they have the bathroom to come in if it's cold, but then they can be all outside. And so I always leave it cold closed. And she's like, do you want me to let them out? I said, it's totally up to you. If you let them out, then you have to, you know, be
you have
aware
to deal with them.
To deal with them. But so she let them out. So she must, they must be growing on her a little bit because she let them out.
Or
they
the
were
babies
barking.
Were in bed. So she let them out.
Yeah. So I don't know. But when it comes to counseling, though, Mom, like, how do you, well, especially because you're such a deep thinker, how do you not let that jade you when you see, because you probably see a lot of the atrocities of people namely men. have you been able to compartmentalize, or like, what's your biggest advice for, like, say there's somebody listening that is like, maybe I do want to leave my husband. Like, what, as a counselor, how do you work through helping somebody decide that?
Well, if there's abuse going on, and I mean, I think some people cry abuse if the guy stepped on her foot accidentally, you know, but if there's true abuse going on where it's a danger, of course, you're out today. Mm-hmm. You're out today, but, you know, you can work on relationships, but I don't know. It takes two to want to work on them, and if you don't have them.
I think that's the key, if you're both willing to do the work on it.
Very true.
Because you're going to all have big time crap mm-hmm. to work through.
Even if you love each other yeah. dearly.
I don't know. Kim and I have often stated that if men could marry men, well, now they can, but if men married men and women married women, it'd probably be a way easier world because we'd get each other.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Just the level of compatibility, for sure.
Yeah, we'd get each other, but I don't know. I keep trying. If you can, keep trying. I think...
I always think
both are hard. Divorce is hard.
And you're both
marriage
trying.
Is hard.
I agree.
No one's going to love your kids the same as you. And
I don't know
no
that anybody gonna. Really says, just so you know, you're trading one heart for the other.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not going to be an easier road. You're trading the excruciating hardness that this is going to be replaced with the same level of excruciating hardness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is a trade you have to make.
And sometimes you know, it's worth
the times
for.
When I have real respect for women or the people who have divorced for things, mm-hmm. real respect. But then it's like if there's even one semblance of a ray of both parties are, you know, doing the best they can, then choose that hard because that's where you're already invested and that's where your kids are and that's mm-hmm. where everything is going. So
I don't know. I just become good text fighter so your kids don't hear it.
So true, right?
You want to know what I learned?
You say things a lot easier on text than you would ever say.
You guys
say.
Could always claim that you'd walk in the house and knew if we were fighting.
Because you guys
or
don't
not.
Text fight. Me and David learned when we lived with you that we were going to be
what?
Text
it's
fighters.
So crazy is we grew up never. Like we could have counted on one hand the Chin Lee fight.
Yeah.
Literally, we just could. The Chin Lee fight, Canyon de Chez fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we still talk about the Canyon de Chez fight, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. You guys were just mad at each other.
I can't imagine of growing up in that.
So growing up, we just didn't hear that kind of angst. But then with Luke, like I'd walk in the house and I'd turn around and walk
me too.
Back out.
Same. Me and David would walk in and go.
You guys went through a little bit of a
we did.
Refiner's
we went through
fire.
Some really bad years, and I feel sorry for Luke because he was smack dab.
I know. But I love Luke's wife, Paula, because Paula's like, you're fine. You're so lucky. And Luke's like, you're right. Like, we may have scarred our children to some extent, mm-hmm. but you love him. You tried. Me and Megan were like his mothers when he was young. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Not saying that we raised him, but we were. All three of us were in town.
We were into it.
So I remember sometimes you'd call me and be like, just come deal with this with Luke, please. He just got cut
too
from Madrigal. Or he just didn't make Madrigals. I don't want to do it. Can you come? And I'm like, you betcha. Because I felt like he was like my son. When he got so excited to see you at Christmas on his mission and he cried, and I was in the background like...
That is hilarious. You were very offended by that.
Me? I am your real mother. How dare you be that emotional for Jill?
And I still cry when he got off the plane and he was this skinny little pitiful looking
That's
sick
how Caden's
boy.
Gonna be and I'm so nervous.
And he just ran to me and I just
cried.
Was
There's nothing sweeter than seeing that reunion.
Nothing. Is. And but yeah, just I was his mother, but not anymore because now we're so in the same stage of life. I don't even look at him like my baby. I look at him like my brother because we're both raising babies at the same time, but
I'm wheezing. Thankful I'm not.
It's such a trip. Yesterday, Talia came by to bring me some books that she'd gotten. Somebody selling their house wanted to get rid of some books, so she brought them to me. And, you know, I'm sitting there with my gimp hand. Like, at the time, I could barely move it. And she's like, okay, let's do Hazel's hair. Go get the supplies. And, you know, Hazel is the worst to do her hair for me. But she sat there like a cherubic angel.
She always does.
She was like looking like with her eyelashes batting like,
thank you. Okay.
And Talia did this intricate braiding bun thing. And then she's like, all right, you did so good. I'm taking them to go get ice cream and so that you can have a break. And I just was like, wanted to cry because it's so amazing and I love them, but it's so hard. The emotion, like the verbal stimulation, the sound stimulation.
I can't imagine.
Well, it's hard too, because at that age, they're a danger to themselves and society. Mm-hmm. They do not get.
And they never stop talking because, I mean, they're so funny. I love like the, what they're doing is so funny. It's just a lot of like noise and stimulation and craziness. But thank you, Talia, for giving me that break. And the little things,
kind.
The little things matter. I was like seriously crying because I was so grateful to have.
It's funny because you had five boys. They're just all boy wrestling on the floor. And then you had this little girl that's talks like this. And okay. Yes.
Hi, Grandma.
And when I was getting in the car the other morning for our pop run, before I got in, Ollie said to Jackie, tell Grandma not to say hi to me today.
Yep. Did you tell her in time? I told her, and we were both wheezing. And then later in the day, we were talking like a mile. This was when you were on your trip. We were talking like intensely about something. I don't know.
I was here when he told us to quit talking.
And he goes, no, this was before. Oh. You got him the second time. Okay. This time he goes, time out, time out, time out, time out. And we both stopped talking and looked back at him. And he's like, shh, just be quiet.
Too loud. As if he's not loud all the time.
Time out, time out, time out. Just stop.
That little twerp.
We must have got going on one of Jill's deep talks.
Must have got fired up.
The intensity was too much for him, but yeah, he is a little twerp.
Remember when I was holding Maddie and she was Piper. Was it Maddie or Piper?
It was Piper who peed on you.
And she was like four or something and she peed on me just.
She wasn't four. You couldn't have tossed her at me like you did. You threw her like a sack of potatoes.
She was just getting potty trained. So for Megan, that probably meant like two.
I said, you little twerp.
Maybe you could hold her again tomorrow. We'll see where that goes.
Pee on her, Piper. Pee on her. Well, that was an interesting chat. I liked it.
Yeah.
Sounds fun to go there. You. I like it.
Probably leaves more questions than answers.
Nah. Sometimes it's nice just to... This is what Pop Run is, people. We just like
this is what we do. We hash out something.
We hash out things. Sometimes we are funny. Sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're
too loud.
Too loud, according to Oliver. But
I'm out.
That's the thing is it's interesting because you always hear people like, don't gossip. Don't talk bad about people. I don't ever feel like I'm talking bad about people. I'm always just flat out analyzing the things I hear. Mm-hmm. Like I hear something and I'm just like
so foreign to you that
like
you have to figure it out.
Like the whole mystery of relationships, you're just like, now this is so interesting what I heard. Like let's analyze it. I'm not there to be like malicious, like you will never believe what I heard.
No.
It's more just like how what's does that happen? Like, what's the progress from there to there? It's just an analyzation.
And you know, if there's one thing I can say I learned 17 years of counseling is you go out, I don't care who you see on the street, who you drive by, they've had gut-wrenching hard things happen to them.
Yeah, everyone's fighting
they've had, it. I mean, some were very public. I mean, like when you lost Abe, that was very public, you know, because people knew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a heartbreak for everybody. But a lot of people's are just, and rightly so, they don't want them out.
They're
you know?
Personal.
They're private. Mm-hmm. And so I have learned that you can look at any, just be nice to people because they're going through crap.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, they will be in a few months.
Right.
Uh-huh.
When this is my parting advice.
Okay.
When I have a sweet moment in my life, which I have many, mainly with you guys and my grandkids and Kim, but I think of it as lotion. And I just like want to rub it in my body and get every little ounce of the sweetness into me because I know around the corner something is going to knock my socks off. Not to sound pessimistic, but something's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
So when I get the good and the sweetness, I just want to like.
Absorb it.
Breathe it in so heavy and just like even when I see a beautiful scene, you know, beautiful in nature, I just want to breathe it in. take a really deep breath and think, I just want to remember how beautiful this is, because I'm going to get the crap knocked out of me in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And your skin will be soft and supple while you go through the crap with all your good things.
I love it.
All right, Meg, what's something good from this week?
Oh, golly. I don't know. I should have been thinking. Start with you.
This is a good lesson for everyone. Like, you have to try to think of the good things. I know. And even if they're really hard, think really, really hard. It can be the littlest thing ever, but it's a good thing to think of. Let's see. Good thing for me. Hoy vey. This week was a little bit rough.
Do you want me to go with one?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't take this as, like, church advice or anything, because somebody... This is a show from the 90s that Kim and I used to like to watch. And
Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure. It's on Prime. We've been rewatching it. It's like 6 seasons. But most of them, there's a few inappropriate things, but most of them make me just laugh so hard, because every character on there, I feel like it's just what we're talking about. They just show the good. They show the dumb. They show the bad. They show all
slice of life.
Yeah, they just show the people how they really are, and I love that, because they develop the characters, and they're real people. They're not just, you know, the angel and the devil. Mm-hmm. They all have a little bit of both in them.
So that's a good show everyone should watch?
It's been fun. I'm going to be sad when it's over, because I never rewatch things, too. You guys
I'm
know
shocked,
that.
I'm shocked, but you
I should. I never rewatch things, but I you have could... thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, I love to rewatch. I heard that if you have a little bit of anxiety, that you love to reread and rewatch just because you know already
what's going
to
happen.
So you can just enjoy it for what
it
is.
I'm reading that book that Jess said, and I keep texting her questions like, no, tell me the answer, but I'm hashing this out with you before I know the answer.
Should I try to power through on that book?
What book?
It's not your vibe. It's a fantasy. Mm. Hoo-la-la.
Well, how do you know it's not my vibe?
I've never seen you read a fantasy in my life.
I wrote a fantasy.
True. This is a different kind of fantasy. I don't know how to explain it.
Was it like a...
A juicy, no.
A little bit of juicy.
Bougie.
It's not. All right, my good thing, and that ended bad, but it started out good, is Spice came to Holbrook with me to the game, and we went to lunch with Mom and Dad, and then we went to the pawn shop. And
I came up with the most brilliant birthday present idea for Spicer. Found it on Etsy that second. I was so proud of myself.
And I need to go back and look, because he was sitting by me, so I couldn't even look. But that was fun to spend time with him.
I love Spicer. He is just this funny, gentle soul. I love
him. To quote Brother Hot, a gentle giant, and I like it. It's true. He's a big old dude, but
he's funny. He'll joke with me and make jokes with me.
He's pretty chill. That's probably why I get along with him easy, because I'm pretty chill like that, so it's nice to have some calm.
Yeah.
Hey, Jax, you're up.
So, my good thing. I do have a lot of good things. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm going to have to say probably my big boys this week. They're just fun. They're really fun. I like going and watching them play, and I like...
They're both super athletic.
Yeah, they're both really fun. Good. They're both really fun.
When I like those two.
They're just really, like, fun to hang out with right now, and watching their personalities grow and their maturity grow, and just being able to hang out with them and have a good time. And Asher did so good trying to...
Yeah, such a good game last night. But what cracks me up about Asher is he can get plastered. That would kill me if I got thrown down like that. Literally, I'd be dead.
And
he'll just get back up and kind of shake his head and keep going.
He was going to be a stunt man when he grew up.
Yeah, don't you remember?
David had to convince to be a stunt man when he had his
stunt
little
man and his
baker. Stunt man and a baker.
His famous line, I hurt myself again.
Sometimes he'll pull that out for me just because.
That he hurt himself or that he...
Mom, I hurt myself again. And he'll do the list for me even. And I'm just like...
It's sold out.
No, because I bought it.
I didn't know that.
You guys are buying online while
we're talking. No, that was when I got Spicer for his birthday.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh. Well, duh. That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's fun to have all stages of life of kids. I feel like I have 2 generations, which is really, really hard sometimes. But
we're having fun enjoying the show.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, it's great entertainment for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the one working yourself to the bone.
Mm-hmm. So it's easy, right?
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. Love you, Mama.
love you.